So hey, how's everybody doing today? It's been a couple weeks since I did my last recording. It's because I've been pretty sick and I still have a little bit of a raspy voice, but I'm going to go ahead and try to get started this morning. And in relation to that, I wanted to talk about what it's like to be sick and alone. So my thoughts on that are this. It doesn't feel any different than when I had somebody with me. Because when I was married, I never really had anybody helping me or taking care of me then either. So it really doesn't feel any different. So in talking about that, I want to point out a red flag. So if you have somebody that doesn't care enough about you to take care of you, to meet your needs and help you out when you're either in a crisis, you're sick, or you're going through something, then that's a big red flag right there. Being married to a narcissist, his needs always came before mine. And if you're in a relationship like that and somebody is not helping you when you're down or you need to talk about things or you're feeling sick, you have something going on at work, and they always relate it back to you, they don't show any compassion, then run, because it's never going to change. And I can tell you that from experience, many years of being married to a narcissistic person, I was never first, and my needs were never met in terms of if I was sick or if I needed help with the kids. It always turned back to him and how it related to him and how he had to be first. So I'm going to tell you a little story about when I was about 10 years into my marriage. I think it was just about our 10th wedding anniversary. My son was just about to turn 2. And I found out I had a chronic illness. And I was pretty sick. And I didn't know how this would affect me, affect my body. And he was really concerned for the first, say, 2 weeks or so, until I didn't basically just get better. He was really concerned about how this would affect me and this and that, but it was really in relation to how it would affect him and his needs. And if I wasn't going to be able to function at the capacity I needed to function in order for him to have his needs met. So for the first 6 months, I was pretty sick until my body adjusted and I learned how to manage the illness. So for the first couple weeks, we tried to learn as much as we could. And then after that, it was back to the girlfriend. And no matter what I did, it was always somebody else that took precedence over me. So when I needed help with the kids or needed some extra rest, I couldn't get it because he was always running off to his friend. And at that time, it was a separate girlfriend than the one that actually broke up our marriage. But here it was, nobody showing me compassion. My kids were little at the time. And that's one of the biggest red flags. If you can't find somebody that helps you when you need it, and it was always about what I wasn't doing at that point. So that's a big red flag. And if that's happening, then you should definitely reconsider the relationship you're in, because you're important and your needs are just as important as somebody else. And if they're not there for you now, they're never going to be. It doesn't change. So that's where I'm talking about a big red flag today. Another time that I can tell you is when I was, it was really early in our marriage. I was pregnant with my daughter, and we had only been married a little over a year and a half at that point. And we got in an argument. I was 7 months pregnant, and my ex-husband at the time, he was my husband for a year and a half at that point, slammed me up against a wall. And in doing so, he broke my rib. I didn't know that I had a broken rib, but I knew I had pain in my side. And after going to the doctors for a week, seeing a couple different doctors, trying to figure out what the pain in my side was, I found out I had a broken rib. And then I realized he's the one that caused it. And here I am, so happy I'm pregnant. And at the very beginning of my pregnancy, it was so great. We, you know, catered to me. I was a goddess. Everything was great. And then all of a sudden, it was not about me anymore. It was how I wasn't able to do certain things I was doing. I was, you know, large. I was, you know, not able to work as much because I was having problems with my feet. And, you know, I was hormonal, obviously. And so, yeah, I had a broken rib, and it showed right then and there that he didn't care if I was carrying a life inside of me. It wasn't about me. It was about him and what he could do to overpower me and to show me that he was basically the boss. So I should have ran then, but I didn't because, you know, I was pregnant with my first kid. Why would you leave that situation then? It's supposed to be a happy, joyous time. So I stayed thinking it was not going to happen again because that was really the first time that I can remember. I think there was some when we were dating, but I think I blocked them all out because I was so, you know, infatuated with the thought of, you know, becoming his wife. And, you know, he was so charming. And, you know, when you're with a narcissistic person, you forget that when you're in that situation. So in relation to the rib, I stayed. And it became something that I never forgot. But, you know, then I had this baby and everything was great again. And, you know, when a narcissistic person has another person in the family, it's still all about him. So the baby was just an addition to his ego. She would be, you know, great to have around when other people were around so he could show what a great daddy was and, you know, for pictures on social media and things of that nature. But in actuality, he didn't really want anything to do with being a dad or a husband that related to our needs. As a mom, you know, my first, you know, person that I would take care of would be the baby because the baby's needs comes first. But his needs were what needed to come first in our relationship. And that's something with a narcissistic person that if you recognize, you need to run because they will always come first and your needs and your child's needs have to come second. He always made it sound like I didn't appreciate things and I didn't care about him. And, you know, I did appreciate things. I appreciated a lot of the things he did for me. But it's hard to reciprocate compassion and love to someone when they're hurting you. How do you do that? So I found that our relationship certainly suffered from that. And I take, you know, responsibility for that. But it's hard. It's hard to love somebody and feel close to somebody when they're hurting you. So if you're in that type of relationship, recognize it early, because I promise you, it doesn't change. And if I had it over to do again, I would probably have ran. I wish somebody at the time had told me. I wish people had known that could have supported me. When my daughter was 3, I had an order of protection against him for a short period of time. And at that time, I reached out to Battered Women's Services, domestic violence shelters, and I went through a ton of counseling and therapy, and it really helped. But then one day he showed up at my door, hysterical, saying he was going to kill himself, and, you know, I felt awful and guilty, and I didn't want him to hurt himself, and because that's what they're good at. They're good at making you feel like they're going to change, and they're making you feel guilty and sad for them, and they've been through such a rough life. And that's a common thing with narcissistic men, is they've grown up from a really bad situation, and, you know, so we're supposed to feel bad for them. So I did, and I took him back. And I let my counseling and all that stuff go to the wayside. And I wish I never did. But I can't take it back. But what I can do is tell people, if you're hurting and if somebody's hurting you, then you need to reach out. And you need to tell people, and you need to connect with other women that are going through the same thing. And you need to make friendships that last, because mine are few and far between, because that's one of the things they don't like, is you having real true friendships. So reach out to people, talk to people. Get the services that are offered and get people to help you out of a bad situation, because it's the most important thing you'll do for yourself early on when you recognize these things. As I'm healing, I realize how close I was to being out the first time that I got the order of protection. And, you know, I was so close. And it's like really hard sometimes to take responsibility for that. And that's one of the things that I do now, is I, you know, recognize, I take responsibility for my actions, because I could have changed back then and I should have changed back then, but I didn't. And it's all through a process of healing that you learn to forgive yourself for those things. And the things that you, you know, can't change, you have to accept. So, like I said, if you're seeing these red flags, please reach out and learn. Take everything that one tells you and relate it to your relationship. And if you're seeing it, get out now, because from experience, I can tell you it doesn't change. 19 years of marriage, and I should have known better. I remember one time being at the emergency room for a finger, and he had broken my finger. And I remember the nurse saying, you know, you don't have to be in that situation. If he's doing that now, then it's only going to get worse. And I was like, yeah, I know. And it's kind of ironic, because I work in that emergency room now as a nurse. But I thought, she doesn't know what she's talking about. And little did I know, that was one of the early on things that I thought, you know, maybe I shouldn't, but I always stayed. And if you hear somebody say it, they might just be right. So these are my red flag warnings for today. Just a couple thoughts, because I've been sick and haven't had a chance to record. So anyway, I'm off for the day. I have lots to do. So I just hope you have a great week, and I'll be talking to you soon. Bye, guys.